You know, they say I'm old-fashioned because I believe that the Bible is God's holy word and that Jesus, who died for our sins long ago, is the Christ and the Son of God. My sins are old-fashioned. My guilt was old-fashioned. God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Aren't you glad for that? I see somebody here all the way from South Carolina. Did I get it? I saw you on Facebook, another Finkbeiner, Kyle. And your wife is here too, and the girls? Oh, great. They'll be here today? What a blessing. Here's a dear brother, his dear wife, and his wonderful children that we haven't seen in a long time, and we're delighted you've come 3,000 miles. It's great. Good to have you this morning. Part of the Finkbeiner clan, a big clan. Good to have you. Some of you married into it. That's good. Matthew 25, turn there if you will. Matthew 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents, if you don't get anything else out of this lesson, faithfulness. 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 That's what we want to have. And that's where we want to be when Jesus comes back. Are we faithful? Have we been faithful? Do we plan on being faithful? Have we been unfaithful? And now we're in that position. Can we ever get back to being faithful? Well, of course. Aren't you glad that God restores? And he's the God of the first, the second, the fourth, the fifth chance. How many chances have you and I had for things we've done? Wouldn't it be great if God, when he saved us, got rid of the old nature? The Christian life would be a dream, wouldn't it? But it wasn't God's plan. God's going to get the victory with the old nature present, as long as we reckon that old man to be dead. And that's what the Apostle Paul exhorted us to do. Problem is, we keep trying to revive that old nature, don't we? But Paul said, the things that I do, that I would, I don't do them, do I? The things that I don't want to do, boy, I find myself doing those things. We can have great victories in our Christian life, go to bed on cloud nine, wake up the next morning, and guess what? Here's a whole new problem, a whole new thing we just did. We've fallen back. And do you think God is aware of that? You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what? We don't avail ourselves of that. That's part of the problem. And when we tell God what we did, we're not informing him of what we did. Do you know God already knows it? Of course. What we're doing is agreeing with him that it is sin, and we're sad that we did it. There's real repentance there. And you know what? If we do that, he said he would save us or forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents. This is a tremendous picture of the Christian life. And when we study God's word, there's three different facets of a passage of Scripture. What is the primary interpretation? What is God saying right now? What's this all about? What's the primary interpretation? Number two, what's the practical application? If we don't apply it to our lives, what good in us? We can come to church, have a good time, go out to eat. Wow, pretty soon we're watching football, and we're right back where we were. Same old things. We haven't really had any change. We can have great victories again, but we have an old nature that is absolutely opposed to God and the things of God. And we do sin, don't we? There was a Sunday school teacher one time that asked the Sunday school class what sin is. And a little girl raised her hand and said, yes, Susie. She said, I think it's anything you like to do. That's true, isn't it? We have an old nature. And there's things that we do. And God wants us to reckon that old man to be dead and quit trying to revive him. The parable of the talents. Let's look at this and see what there is for us, because there's a lot here. I can only scratch the surface. I'm not a pastor. I'm just kind of one of the members of the church here. If you're wondering who I am, I was a pipe fitter. Went to the University of Washington. Go Huskies. Oh, man, what a team. And worked for Battelle for 38 years and have four children. One is right here. My son, John, he's the oldest. David is second oldest. He's back in Pittsburgh. There's my twin daughters, Katie, who's one of the greeters, that redhead you saw. He has a twin sister, Jenny, who's up in OMAC. And God is good. Matthew 14, let's look at this. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants, the Greek word there is slaves or bond slaves, and delivered unto them his goods. You know, when he got you and me, God didn't get much, did he? No, he didn't get much. There's not much in us. In fact, you know what? There's nothing in us. The only qualification for being a Christian is that you're not qualified. We're not qualified to be God's children, are we? In the natural man, the natural flesh, unregenerated. But when God gets a hold of us, he can make a change, can't he? God can turn things around. That's right. Does that mean we become sinless? You know, I ran into a guy at the tire store, Les Schwab, and he was oneness. How many knows what oneness in or holiness? They are non-Trinitarian. They believe in Jesus only. Now, I don't know how when Jesus was baptized there, what did he do? Throw his voice? Hey, this is my beloved son. Yeah. No, that was his father speaking. But anyway, he didn't believe that he sinned anymore. He reached, yes, sinless perfection. There's some that teach that. Yeah. And I talked a long time, but I'll tell you, amazing that people could actually believe that they don't sin anymore. Right. That's antinomianism against the law. Sinless perfection. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I do sin. Yeah. But we have an advocate with the Father, don't we? Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God for that. He delivered unto them his goods. See, they were his goods. The people themselves, the servants, they didn't have anything. They were just servants. Got up in the morning, went to work, worked hard, went to bed, ate a little bit, and got up again. Same thing every day. Didn't have anything, but he delivered unto them his goods. I love that. You know what, for a Christian? God delivered unto us his goods. What were some of his goods? How about his grace? How about his mercy? Boy, we need that, don't we? We don't have that in ourselves. How about our abilities? How about our mouth? Remember what he told Moses? Moses, who made your mouth? He gave us an intellect. He gave us a job. He gave us the money we have. Wow. How about our home and our cars and our health? How about our church right here? Boy, he gave us that, didn't he? How about his word? He gave us that. He gave us favor, his Holy Spirit. He gave us fellow believers. That's why we have a church covenant. We've covenanted together to pray for one another and to support one another and to encourage one another. Wow. He gave us pastors. He gave us opportunity to serve him. We received all from him, everything. We have nothing we can call our own but sin. Wow, what a legacy that is for us, isn't it? Aren't you glad that he took our place at Calvary 2,000 years ago? Yep. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's all about God, isn't it? It's all about what he did. 2 Peter 1:3, turn there real quick. This is my father's favorite passage of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, he had this memorized down to verse 9. Let's start at the top. We're only going to read the first three verses. Simon Peter, 2 Peter 1. 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, they have obtained that. See, they didn't have anything in themselves. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He has it all, doesn't he? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Wow. We get peace and grace just through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Do we really know God? More important, does he know you? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Verse 4, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. A lot of lust around, isn't there? But I'll tell you what, on TV, you can't even watch a clean program without something coming on to enter your mind. It's absolutely incredible. If these aren't the last days, I don't know what are. But you know what? Paul told Timothy, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse than this. You just look at this election. Ungodly people. That's our choices. Unbelievable, isn't it? But God said it was coming, so we shouldn't be surprised. Titus 1:2, what are some of those promises? Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Great. So God has given us many promises. The question is, what are we going to do about these opportunities? God gives us opportunities, doesn't he? A lot of opportunities. See these right here? These are my four favorite tracks. Do you know when you pay a bill, you know what you can do? How much junk mail do you get? It's terrible. I give him something that's not junk mail. I put these four tracks right in my bill when I mail it off. A lot of things you do electronically, but I'm old-fashioned. I still have a flip phone. I put these right in there to witness. We were blowing out sprinklers. Dan Tucker, I was helping him a little bit. He did mine. We went to do somebody else. He'd never done before. I did it years ago, and this guy came down the road. He just kind of walking, kind of oriental looking, and I said, hey, how you doing? He says, good. What are you up to? He says, oh, I just walked my kid down to school, and it's coming back. I said, really? Found out he was the cook at Emerald of Siam. His mom is the owner. Well, I got to talk to him for a little while, and after I left, I said, hey, wait a minute, I've got something for you. What did I do? Went and got these four tracks, gave them to him, said, hey, like you to read these, tell you how to go to heaven when you die and live with the Lord Jesus forever. That's all you have to say. There was a guy, Budweiser, remember the old Price Chopper in Richland? He was a Budweiser man. He was filling up the shelves. I said, hey, not one of these tracks, another one I like. I said, hey, got something for you I'd like you to read. Not now, don't do it on company time, but here when you get home, just before you go to bed, read this. Wow. Tracks, whole bunch of them back there. Is that... what's first on your mind? You should have these in your car. You should have them in your... people everywhere. They need the Lord, and thousands of people have been saved by tracts. Do you know that? You don't have to say a whole lot. I sometimes will put my name and my phone number. If you have any questions, just call me right here. Wow. Tracts. These reach people. Thousands and thousands of people have been saved through a tract. That's something we can do. You know, I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he reads me in my home, tomorrow in the street. Maybe friend or relative or slight acquaintance be. But he's watching me. He's watching me. You're a Bible to your neighbor. I have a neighbor. He's not saved. His wife is not saved. But you know what? I went to British Columbia, and we got to fish on this island. This island is owned by 10 guys. And they have a church camp there. They have this huge compressor. It's in the middle of nowhere. And Blakely Sound, anybody know where that is? It's on the southwest end of Vancouver Island. And I mean, we had a ball. It was a church camp. The guy that ran it was a professor at Moody College there. This guy was something. We'd fish all day, and then at 8 o'clock, we'd get around the campfire there, and these guys, and he would give us a Bible study. Oh, it was like heaven on earth. And the day we caught salmon at night, we went and listened to this guy that was a professor at Moody. It was tremendous. But you know, it's funny. I told him, I said, you know, you got all these guys around you. I said, him and I got out on the dock. It was just him and me. And I said, you've got all these guys around here. I know it takes money to run this thing. I said, why don't you talk to him about some of the needs that you have? Well, I don't know. I says, hey, I said, Apostle Paul talked about giving. You know, make sure there's no giving when I come. Take up everything on the first day of the week. I said, if you need money to run this thing, there's people here that got money. I said, see that guy right there? It's my best friend, Jim Nielsen. Joe Nielsen ran the Tri-City Bible Bookstore. I grew up with Jim in First Baptist Richland. I was one and he was one and a half. I mean, I can look at him and start laughing. All the things that we've done together, unbelievable. But Jim was there. His brother-in-law is a multimillionaire. And a builder, and he's got about 15 plus. I said, do you see that guy right down there? That guy is a multimillionaire. I said, if you just talk to him and present your need, he might give you some money. I don't know, but I said, if you're going to be running a thing like that, it takes money, doesn't it? It takes cash. Remember last week, this mission field over here in the Congo? It takes money. It takes cash. Willie Orange, an old friend of mine, pipefitter, he says, He said it was cabbage. You got any cabbage, Bart, he'd say? I said, yeah. It takes money to run those things, doesn't it? Right? Those people are there on the front lines in the mission field, and they're giving all they have. The question is, are we giving all that we have? Are we holding back something? Let's look at this. Matthew 25, verse 14. He delivered unto them his goods and said unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to every man according to his several ability. That word ability comes from the Greek dunamis, which means a miraculous ability. So we see that it wasn't ability of their own. It was something that was miraculous. Miracles can only come from God. So it was abilities that they had that God gave them, wasn't it? And straightway he took his journey. You know, really the only ability we need is availability for God's work. Are you available? I told, there's somebody in the church, I said, anytime you need me, call me. And hey, boy, this guy took me up on it. Building this huge wall. He's got 10 feet deep. He's coming out of a window in the basement and put in these French doors. Now he's got to build these big walls and he's coming up. Oh, brother, mixing concrete all day. But I says, you know what? If you'll call me, I'll come. And the next day, this guy was just killing himself by himself. Across the street, he had a huge piles of dirt he'd taken out from down there and wheelbarrow him up, and this lift he had, oh, man, incredible. I said, if you'll call me, I'll come. Are we available for God's work? Do we make ourselves available? How many remember the last payment on your house? The last payment you made. I do. How many remember that? Or on a car? The last payment. Your houses aren't paid up? That's too bad. Okay. Should be paid up by the time you retire. Good. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You've paid off a car. Boy, I'm finished. Isn't that great? Man, it's so good to have your house. You get that title and everything. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Aren't you glad Jesus, when he died on the cross, didn't say, I'm finished? Father, I took care of him now. I went to the cross. They're on their own now. Yeah, it took everything out of me. Aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm finished? What did he say on the cross? It is finished, right? It was salvation. Everything that needed to be done, he did it for us, didn't he? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. He comes along us. He's not finished with us. He promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. And since he's begun a good work, he'd finish it. He said that, didn't he? He made the first and last payment for our sins. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's very clear, isn't it? He didn't stutter. He wasn't some former president. What is. Yeah, very clear what we're supposed to be doing. So he gave these. He straightway took his journey. And a talent of gold, it's interesting. This is a Greek word. It means a scale or a sum of money. You know how much a talent is? A talent is 82 pounds. Good grief, he gave 5 times 8. That's 400 pounds of gold. Can you believe that? So you see, this is a parable. A parable is what? Comes from the parabola, means to cast alongside. He has a great truth he wants to teach, and he's going to cast alongside a picture of that. A parable. The parable, that's a lot of gold, isn't it? How many have gold at home? You don't want to raise your hand because you don't want anybody to know. They might come try to steal it. Should have a safe. Or better yet, put her on the mission field. Okay. Gold. My son is a coin collector. In this old collection of costume jewelry we were going through that was used for the crowns of these, you know, these kids that are the wise men. I looked in there and my eyes bugged out. And down in the bottom was this little coin, and it said the United States of America. I says, you can't just put that on a coin. And I flipped it over, and it was an 1849 $1 gold piece. And when he looked it up, it's worth $350. Wow. That's like that parable, the pearl, the great price, you know. He found it. Unbelievable. Gold. Yes, a lot of gold. It's a picture he's painting for us. A talent is 82, would be worth, one talent be worth $1.7 million today. And the Greek word was a kakar, which is a round disc. That's how they made it up, in a round disc. Weighed 82 pounds, but it might have been just a lot of coins like this that weighed that much. We don't know. He's making a picture here for us. He's giving us a picture lesson. Verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went, and he traded the same and made 5 other talents. Wow, in fact, the language here says he went immediately. He took that gold and he traded. Somehow he took, who knows what he did, but he was a pretty good businessman. And if you look at this parable, it's all about God investing in you and in me. Question is, what kind of an investment has he made? Well, I look at myself. I don't think he made a very good investment in me because I know me and I know my heart. The heart is deceitful, isn't it? Above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Again, we thought we won a victory yesterday. Uh-oh, we got this now here. But you know what? He did. He thought quite a bit of us. He loved us with an eternal love that would not let us go and took our place at Calvary. So there's a sense of urgency. Notice now what he didn't do. He didn't say, you know what, now my Lord's going on that long journey. You know what, I'm going to take a break right now. Man, I got all this gold. I could have a good time. I'm going to take just a little bit for me, and I'll do the rest for him. And boy, just a little bit of this gold, I could have a lot. You know, he's not coming back for a long time. See the parallels between us today? The Lord delayeth his coming. Wow, but when we see the signs that are here now, Israel's a nation. Goodness, they've been a nation since 1948. Who would have ever thought Russia would be down in the Middle East? And if you take an old Schofield Bible and some of those old 1800 Bible teachers that Russia was coming down into the Middle East, and guess what? Their guns are turned east, but pretty soon they're going to turn south. They're going against Israel. Maybe it's because they're going to try and get that land that they took away from, Israel took away from Syria back. Something's going to happen in there. But they're there now. There was a whole armada last Tuesday that came in through the Mediterranean sailing right up there towards Syria. Interesting, isn't it? Happening in our lifetime. So there's a sense of urgency. He went, he made 5 talents. Wow. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But there's always a but in there. You know, we need to kick that but out of our life. Boy, I'd sure like to serve the Lord, but I've got to do these other things. I've got to finish my house. I've got to get that done. Yeah. You know, I'd serve the Lord over here, but, you know, I'm not much of a speaker. Wow. You know, I'd really like to do that in church, but, you know, I wouldn't be that good. Boy, where's our focus? It's on self. Focus needs to be on others. If you could describe the Christian life in one word, you know what it'd be? It'd be others. There's a song that goes something like this. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my anthem be. For when I live for others, then I live for thee. How many know Dorothy Baker? Dorothy Baker needs help around her house. And I told her, Dorothy, you know what? If you need me, call me. She called me one day. Steve, we got sprinkler problems. The whole valve box, it was just filled up with water. There was a leak. It was way out in the lawn. I mean, it was soggy. It was 102 degrees. And I said, Dorothy, I'll take care of it. She had sprinklers up, clear up against her house that were spraying her house. Water in your house. You can ruin your wood. Oh, man, I was out there working, taking out sod, giving her a whole new deal and putting some bubblers where they needed to be and moving other sprinklers out. And you know what? God, he just as clear as I'm talking to you, said, Steve, helping others is the Lord's work. Helping others is the Lord's work. Isn't that something? Clear as day. My attitude was already pretty good, but boy, except for the 102 degrees, man, it was hot out there. I was sweating. Helping others is the Lord's work. Wow, what a lesson. I just pass that on to you. Others. But what did he do? He that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. That's important. That's important. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckon with them. You know, there's going to be a reckoning with you and me someday. We're going to stand before God. There's going to be a reckoning. For the Christian, it's before the Bema. In the old Olympics, they had a stand. It was called the Bema seat. And everybody that won first, second, third, the winners. If you're here and you're a Christian, you're a winner. You're a winner not because of anything you did. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. You're a winner, and you're going to receive a reward. It's only for the receiving of awards. That's all the Bema. It's not a place of punishment. It's not a place of telling how bad you are. It's just a place of receiving rewards. So we're all going to appear there, aren't we, someday, and give an account of those deeds done in the body. And God's going to put a torch to our works, find out whether they were really done in faith or it was done for self. Sometimes we're not even sure, you know, why we did what we did. But he knows, and he's going to put a torch to it, and it'll be wood, hay, or stubble. And what stands is what was really done in faith, because this lesson's about faithfulness, faithfulness. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Look, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Wow, faithfulness. There it is, faithfulness. Look over here in chapter 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Faithful and wise servants. That's what God wants for you and for me. Faithful and wise. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Being faithful. Are you going to be faithful in what you're doing? Sarah, what does Sarah do here in our church? She goes out every Wednesday night and rides a van and gets these kids, and she knows, and we have a driver every Wednesday. And if I come early on Wednesday, what's she doing? She's washing all the toys in the nursery out on the floor there. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Great. And I know some of you others, faithful and faithful what God's called you to do. I look up here, I can see Bob and Roberta. Faithfulness. I've been there for 36, 37 years. Faithful to the Lord. What does that do? That encourages others, doesn't it? Yes, faithfulness. I'm going to make you faithful. Make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also, verse 22, that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. He came and said, behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be nice to hear when you stand before the Lord? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Different kind of servants. Different levels of serving, different abilities, different abilities. God gives them to us, doesn't he? All he wants us to do is be faithful. I've gained 2 other talents. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, the same commendation is gained by the servant with 2 talents as by the one with 5 talents. He treats them the same. Why? Because he may have given one more abilities than the other one. God gave as it pleased him. We had a pastor one time at First Baptist Richmond. His name was Charles Wagner. That guy could preach. He could be an evangelist. He ran a visitation program. He played the saxophone. He would play with us kids at camp. I mean, he was, I don't know how they ever got him from back east out to little old Richland with the wind blowing and the tumbleweeds rolling, but he was a tremendous preacher. He took over for, anybody heard of Back to the Bible broadcast, Theodore Epp? And then who took over for him was Warren Wiersbe. He took over Warren Wiersbe's church in Covington, Kentucky. That's how, he was a president of Northwest Baptist Seminary. He would take his pants, and he would roll these pants up here to his knees. He looked funny, but he would get in there with us kids. He would be the pitcher and throw the softball, and he'd try to get us, you know, hey, now look out, now here it comes, hey. And he would just play with us, and and then he would preach to us, and he was tremendous. He had a lot of abilities, didn't he? Right. Some of us just have one or two gifts. What about gifts? Do you have a gift that God's given you? What are some of the gifts? I'm going to list some of these. See if these ring a bell with you as something that you, because God gives you things you enjoy doing. God's not going to give you something that's just a drudgery. Sometimes it will be if you make it one. It's all about your attitude sometimes, isn't it? Wow. I could tell you some things I've done, sewers that have backed up, that was a drudgery for somebody, but I'll tell you what, it's just if you're doing it for the Lord and doing it for them, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? Yeah, you can turn something around like that with your attitude. Attitude is important. Here's some gifts that are biblical. These are right out of God's word. Pastors, evangelists, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhorting, the gift of prophecy. That's not foretelling something going to happen. It's forthtelling, speaking unto exhortation, edification, or comfort. The gift of giving. Some can give more than others. Some can give who don't have much, can give much more comparatively than others because they give it all sometimes. And they live on very little. And when they die, they don't have anything left. They've put it all. My mother said, I'm sending it on ahead. Isn't that great? I'm sending it ahead of me. And she gave, oh, it's tremendous. The gift of ruling, which is administration, governments, and leadership. Not everybody can be a leader, can they? But boy, some of us, I like to follow a good leader. I'm not much of a leader. I don't think I'm a leader at all, hardly. But boy, I'll tell you what, in my heart, I can follow a good leader. We'll charge hell with a squirt gun. We'll get it done. The gift of showing mercy, the gift of faith, the gift of helps, helping people. Remember one word to describe the Christian faith. What is it? Others. Taking these selfies all the time. Wow, these selfies. See? Our whole society is, it's focused on self and not others. Others. If you hidden your gift and abilities that God has given you in the dirt, covered them up, well, that'd be a sad commentary if it was true. Maybe you should have gone to the foreign field. Maybe you think you missed the boat somewhere. Then you can get it right and get to serving God right where you are now. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. God wants us to earnestly contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints. Now, Jesus did a lot of good things when he came to earth. What are some of the miracles he did? You name them, I'll count them up. He healed the lepers, the blind man. Yes, someone else. Feeding of the 9,000, 5,000 at one time, 4,000 at another time. Excellent. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Wouldn't you like to have been there and seen that happen? Woo! That would have been great. Yep. They were. 12 baskets full. You know, one time I counted those baskets out there. There were 12 baskets. So somebody setting up that food out there has got it just right. Okay. Fed the 5,000 one time, 9 total. Someone else. What's another miracle? He healed. The little girl, Lazarus from the dead. Great. Another miracle. He walked on water. I love that. They're in the Sea of Galilee. How many of you have ever been to Israel? Good. Been out on the Sea of Galilee. We went together, Ed, your whole family, and we had a good time. Good. Walked on water. What else? He calmed the waters. Peace, be still. What did the disciples say? What manner of man is this? Wow. What else? Changed the water into wine. Excellent. There at the Mary's Cana. Someone else. What are some miracles he did? Raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, healed the lame, took time to weep with those that wept. He did a lot of good things. My point is, that's not why he came. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give himself a ransom for many. Now, some of you say, you know, I'm old. I can't do much. How many feel old? I do sometimes. I tell you, after doing that concrete, this guy's in our church. His name is David York, and I'm telling you what, he bites off some big projects. I was beat. I didn't get home until 10:30 one night. We were pouring concrete in the night. It was something and finishing it. I'm old. I'm tired, and there's not much I can do anymore. Okay, well, listen to this. Too old, you say? Colonel Sanders, at age 5, his father died. At age 16, he quit school. At age 17, he had already lost 4 jobs. At age 18, he got married. He joined the Army and washed out there. At age 20, his wife left him and took their baby. He became a cook in a small cafe and convinced his wife to return home. At age 65, he retired. He felt like a failure and decided to commit suicide. Did you know that? I didn't. He sat writing his will, but instead he wrote what he would have accomplished with his life and thought about how good a cook he was. Wow. So he borrowed $87, fried up some fried chicken using his special recipe. I don't have to tell you what it is. He went door to door to sell, and at age 88, Colonel Sanders, founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken Empire, was a billionaire at 88. Laura Ingalls Wilder, Little House on the Prairie, maybe some of the world's most beloved children books, but she was no spring chicken herself. When she sat down to write, Wilder didn't publish her first novel until she was 65 years old. But she managed to then crank out some of the most beloved series of all time. How about Michelangelo? At 71, he was appointed architect of St. Peter's Basilica. And at 75, he painted the conversion of St. Paul, the crucifixion of Peter, and the Last Judgment. We were in Park City, Utah, my son and I, at an art gallery. Unbelievable. Some of Bloch's paintings are right there. And he painted, if you know him, some tremendous scenes. At 83, Ben Franklin adds to a long list of inventions with something every midlifer can use. Anybody know what it was? Bifocal glasses. Aren't you happy for those? They're great. At 85, Thomas Edison began testing various plants for rubber content as part of a contract with the Defense Department. At 85, he was homeschooled, by the way. His mother pulled him out when he was a sophomore in high school, said, I can do a better job. But wasting his time and our time, brought him home, homeschooled him, hit the things like math and English big time. My wife did that. And let him, get this, tinker in the basement. Tinker in the basement. Good grief. His inventions, unbelievable. Thomas Edison. But Grandma Moses, this is a good one. Grandma Moses. This is, how many have ever seen a picture of her? Actually quite pretty, even when she got old. Anna Marie Robertson Moses is one of the biggest names in American folk art. She didn't even pick up a brush until she was in her 8th decade at 76. Ooh. Grandma Moses originally was a big fan of embroidery, but once her arthritis grew too painful for her to hold a needle, she decided to give painting a try in the mid-1930s. She was 76 when she cranked out her first canvas, and she lived another 25 years as a painter. She died at 101. Are you too old to be faithful? Too old to serve? I think not. She lived long enough to see the canvases she had sold for $3 fetch prices of north of $10,000 a piece. She's got some online that are over $1 million. Wow. Grandma Moses. What is the fruit for labor that God has given you? Are you using your life? And what, you know, God's only given us so much time. We're going to take our last breath, and that's it. I got to see my mom and my dad take their last breath. Last week, if I told you that, I would start crying. But it's just, I was there. It was tremendous. My brother called when my dad was dying, fell out of a tree at 86, had no business being there, snapped his neck. They put him in a halo. Oh, brother. He passed. He said, Steve, you better get down here if you want to see Dad before he dies. Oh, it was tremendous. We sang a song, and my sister Sharon was there, my mom and my daughter and I, and it was great. His last breath, he says, Steve, you might as well turn the machine off. Dad's gone. And my mother, when she took her last breath, my brother was going to leave. I said, I'll stay here a little bit longer, about 10:30 at night. I mean, you've heard people dying. I told myself, she can't keep that up. This wonderful woman had shrunk down to this just this little bitty lady. And sure enough, we sat there and listened to her, and pretty soon she went. And she died and is in heaven. Wow. What a testimony. A life well lived. Were my parents bionic and perfect? Oh, no. I'm here to tell you they were not. I lived there. I knew them. But you know what? They gave us the greatest thing they could ever give us. They gave us God's word. We sat at my dad's feet. We had family devotion every night, including Sundays and Wednesdays. Every night. You know, I thought, I'm going to do that too. I think that's important to instill the word of God. And I probably should be speaking to a lot younger group, but if you're not doing reading God's word to your kids, I'll tell you what, time's going by, and pretty soon you can't ever go back and redo what you should have done every night. And my mom and dad were not perfect, but they did the best they could. They came out of my dad was one of eight, and he was the oldest, and you know, he had to kind of help raise and go get a job. And my mom worked on a truck farm, had no money during the Depression, but they had a lot of food. You know, it wasn't fancy food like we have, but they got by. But they did the best that they could with what they had, and hopefully we'll be faithful. That's the key, faithfulness. Let's be faithful to what God's given you to do. And it's different what he's given me to do, and to be faithful, encouraging one another, shall we? Let's pray now. Our time is up. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. There's nobody place we'd rather be than right here with God's people in God's house under the hearing of God's word. Father, we just love these people. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless us as we grow together in Christ. Bless the service that follows. Bless the singing. Bless the message and decisions that need to be made for rededication, for salvation, for church membership, for baptism, Father, will be made today. And we just thank you for what you've done in us. Lord, it's all you. You get all the glory. And we just can't wait until you come for us. And Father, we realize that the best is yet to come. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Rick will be back next week.